In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have now completed one half of the liturgical year in which we commemorate the events in the life of Jesus. From last November until today, we have been commemorating the birth of Jesus, his baptism, ministry, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and ascension. Now, Pentecost begins the second half of the liturgical year, in which we explore the teachings and the revelation of Christ by observing his actions and hearing what he has to say to us. I have to say, I have discovered two major shortcomings in my spiritual history. One is that I have spent most of my spiritual life praying to God the Father and studying the events and teaching of God the Son in the person of Jesus, and I am astonished at how little attention I have given to thinking about God the Holy Spirit. And preparing for this homily at Pentecost made this pretty clear to me. My second major shortcoming is that my theology was shaped by Hollywood long before seminary. Wasn't it really Charlton Heston who gave us the Ten Commandments in 1956? Audrey Hepburn is my icon of humility in The Nun's Story. Jesus should have looked like Jeffrey Hunter if he were the King of Kings in 1961. All church leaders had the charisma of the Cardinal Tom Tryon in 1963. And don't we all suspect that Anglican clergy are as troubled as Richard Burton in The Night of the Iguana? With that kind of theological education, how can I begin to understand this feast of Pentecost? I was even taught another name for this feast, Whitsunday. I never learned what the white was about this Sunday, but that was in its name, Whitsunday. I do remember church school leaders and many clergy saying that if I wanted to be an Anglican in good standing, that Whitsunday was one of the 3 days of the year when I would have to receive Holy Communion, along with Christmas Day and Easter Sunday. This week, I asked a knowledgeable bishop about this minimum annual requirement, and he said it's in canon law. But I have been unable to find that canon. I've looked for 3 days now. Suffice it to say that church school and confirmation classes gave me the distorted notion that anything that Jesus or his followers did was done by them for the very first time in all of human history. And this is just not true. The Holy Spirit did not appear for the first time at Pentecost, as we just heard being read earlier. The observance of Pentecost had been the Jewish festival of Shavuot for centuries before Jesus and all of his followers started to celebrate it. In a way, then, Pentecost is not the birthday of the church, as some of us like to say, although I do understand what that phrase is trying to say. Pentecost was a Jewish wheat harvest festival. It was also the commemoration of the Torah being given to Israel. Our Jewish neighbors kept that feast, which began last night. For Jews and Christians, Pentecost was then, as now, a festival of completeness of the fullness of God's gifts to humankind. So let's review briefly about how we who follow Jesus have thought about the Holy Spirit at various times. In the Hebrew scriptures, we hear about the presence of the Holy Spirit from the very beginning. In Genesis, we learn that God created while the Spirit of God swept over the waters. And God breathes the Spirit into Adam and Eve to give human beings life. The earliest understandings of our Jewish ancestors of the Holy Spirit was that all inspiration and all charismatic action was caused by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was understood more like a force than the person, as we're taught in church school. Moses' dramatic actions are inspired by God's Spirit, as are the decisions of David. The motivation of Judith, the convictions of Ruth, and the strength of Samson are all actions of the Holy Spirit. The inspiration that composed the Psalms, the wisdom in Proverbs, and the cautions of the prophets are all the workings of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 51 says, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me," the only time it's mentioned in the entire book of Psalms. Ezekiel animates the dry bones by the inspiration of that same Spirit. In the Christian Gospels, we find the Holy Spirit present and active long before the Pentecost involved the apostles. The Gospel of Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit is involved in the conception and birth of Jesus. At Jesus' baptism, the Spirit is present in many forms. In his early ministry, when Jesus begins to preach in the synagogue, he begins with the words from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he preaches about the signs of the ends of time, when the promises of God will be made manifest. One of the signs of the end of time is the resurrection of the Jewish dead. So then the resurrection of Jesus is not new and is evidence that the hoped-for end of all things had already begun to arrive. In the early Christian church, the Holy Spirit is the power acting in Christians, in their attitudes and in their actions of teaching and enduring hardships such as persecution and martyrdom. Early Christians in the church community are temples of the Holy Spirit, the epistles tell us. St. Paul tells the Christians in Rome that the Holy Spirit has been given to them in their love for God and for one another. Eventually, church leaders understood that the baptism gave the Holy Spirit to each Christian so that no Christian could ever be only a passive observer of the faith. In modern times, theologians like Karl Rahner remind us that the Holy Spirit orients us, number one, towards God, and number two, towards the future. This is not our doing, but is rather by the action of the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit moves us toward openness to the progressive action of God in three ways. Number one, social action, with concern for the poor, for peace, for the world, for the work of reconciliation, and a commitment to care for the earth. The second area, the Holy Spirit brings us closer to God through a desire for prayer, a curiosity about the Word of God, and a motivation toward ever deeper holy communion with God. And thirdly, there is the matter of God inspiring Christians toward deep affinity, love, and caring for one another, as well as for those whose faith is different from our own in an ecumenical relationship. The Holy Spirit has been present and active for longer than we knew, and in ways we did not even see at first. But what of the Holy Spirit today, in our time, here in Victoria? The writer and gay activist Chris Glosser had tried to get the Presbyterian Church to accept gay clergy, but he was not successful. In one of his books, he writes, "I am less interested in the doctrine than I am in the experience." Let's ponder this for a moment. I am less interested in the doctrine than I am in the experience. What could this mean for us on the Feast of Pentecost? If the Holy Spirit is not only a doctrine, how would we experience that? Well, for one thing, I wonder if understanding the Holy Spirit as a person is limiting. Would some other word or idea capture what we experience of the Holy Spirit? For example, a scientist who was a theologian and a priest Father Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, explains that the Holy Spirit is involved in quantum physics and in all the processes of evolution. The idea of the Holy Spirit as a person doesn't work very well in that realm. So what concept would be better? Here's a metaphor that I have been thinking about. Now, this will require some action from you, but you're Anglicans, so it's not like I'm going to ask you to jump up and holler hallelujah. This is going to be a very simple thing, which I think everyone will be able to do. Will you fan out the fingers of one of your hands and just move it back and forth in front of you and pay attention to the sensation that you're feeling? Do you notice how, if you focus, you can be aware of the movement of air around each finger as your hand moves? It requires focus, but you will feel that movement of air around each finger of your hand. Just wave it a few more times until you're aware of that movement. When you can feel it, if you look for it. We have probably felt this sensation of air passing over our skin every day of our life, but because we have not been focusing, we have not been aware, and so we have ignored this sensation. I have been wondering if a similar lack of awareness may have kept us from knowing the experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. The Holy Spirit is and always has been active in every circumstance of your life. Even if you have not been conscious of it, the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that inspired Moses, the same Holy Spirit that enlightened Jesus, is working in your life just now, every day, whether you are aware of it or not. The Holy Spirit, who was like rushing wind and flames of fire, is around and in you each day. Do you notice it? Do you believe it? What is your experience of the Holy Spirit inspiring you to do?